Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com here in Mississippi, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, those joining us online worldwide, thanks to our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. But for those who are looking for a story that is not only entertaining but also thought-provoking, I think you guys are going to really enjoy this next segment. We're excited to welcome author Jeff Fulmer to our broadcast today. Jeff is the author of a book I had a chance to read called American Prophet. We're going to talk to Jeff not only about his own love of storytelling, but also where the idea for the book came from, what it was like for him to take us through the journey of the main character, Peter, in the book, but also what he hopes to be able to remember about the book once you finish it. If you all are just now finding out about Jeff, we'll let you know how to stay connected with him, as well as, of course, how you can be able to get the book for yourself. Jeff, thank you again for the time today. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you for the time, Cyrus. I appreciate you having me, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Well, same here, same here. So this is one of those interesting books for me, Jeff, in that it is entertaining, it's engaging, but it definitely makes you think. And I'm curious for you, as the author of it, was that kind of the hope for you, that to give people characters that they would remember but also want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sort of cathartic for me, too. It was a chance to work through some questions that I was having, not only about religion, but also about politics and kind of how those intersect and personal faith and just, you know, what are we called to do here and what's the most effective way of doing that? Of course, it's a different answer for every person, but I kind of wanted to put Peter in a position where he's smack dab in the middle of those crossroads and kind of has to figure it out on the fly. And so obviously I had, the benefit of sitting down and working through it. But I enjoyed the process both personally and then, you know, hopefully other people can take something away from it as well. Or if nothing else, just give them the opportunity to put themselves in, you know, Peter's place and, kind of wrestle with some of these issues. How would you do it? The character is very fallible. He's a very, you know, everyday kind of person. And so he's not a holier-than-thou prophet. He's just a guy. And so I think that makes him a bit more relatable, and hopefully, you know, people can identify with that.
Right. And it reminds, for those who are Bible readers, Jeff definitely will make them think about the Peter we're able to meet in the first century that walked with Jesus. And he definitely was not perfect. had many moments could be impulsive, would think more of himself and his abilities sometimes than maybe he should, but having to remember that he also is a man. So let's talk about the genesis for you then. What was the seed for you, Jeff, that kind of started American Prophet?
Okay, well, about 10 years ago, I wrote a book called Hometown Prophet. Mm-hmm. And it took Peter, the same character, is initially called to be a prophet, and he kind of is reluctant and, you know, confides something to his pastor at the time he's going to an evangelical church from his youth. He's moved back home and is kind of lost and trying to figure things out, but he has these dreams, and his pastor encourages him to speak to the congregation, you know, talk about one of these dreams, and it comes true, and so he suddenly becomes heralded as a modern-day prophet, certainly in his hometown, which it takes place in Nashville, where I happen to be from as well. So, as the story goes on, he begins to challenge, the dreams begin to challenge some of the more religious people in the community, and he gets a lot of pushback, which prophets often do. And so he kind of grows up that way through the process. So at the end of the book, you know, Peter is kind of finished with his calling, and his gift goes dormant, and it's been dormant for about 10 years. And I didn't think a whole lot more about it. I mean, I thought about it, but I didn't really try to write anything, or I didn't have any specific ideas. But last year, a few things I think had been simmering sort of on the back burner, and I got inspired, or at least motivated, to write a sequel. I tell people, really, you can read American Prophet. It's a standalone book. You don't need to read Hometown Prophet at all. But it's it does take, you know, the main character, his gift returns, and now his dreams are a little more current. They take on more national issues. And he's sort of forced onto a bigger stage at this point. So, actually the impetus was sort of a there was a school shooting here at Covenant in Nashville last year, and there was some gun control protest rallies. And a couple of legislators were expelled for participating in this protest. I think they just were kind of desperate to be heard. There was no way anything was going to pass in the state of Tennessee, red flag laws or anything like that. But, you know, they were just kind of trying to make their voices heard a little bit. And they were, you know, not suspended or not censored. They were expelled. You know, which I thought was just so over the top, and they happen to be black as well, members. So I don't know. That sort of was the tipping point for me. I just felt like there was just something really inherently wrong with the system, and you know, we need a prophet, and I not that I am one, but I wanted to, you know, it sort of gave me some more ideas to work on, and I started work on this one, American Prophet.
Got you. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and I think, you know, for any of our audience, especially our audience here in Mississippi on the radio side, Jeff, of course, we know exactly what you're talking about there when it comes to that incident that did make national news, and even, I should say, international news, really, and mm-hmm. built a lot of solidarity for those individuals, but it also brought up, I think, some interesting things. So when I was reading American Prophet, I had not read the first book, but I did see it was on Amazon. So I definitely encourage our audience, you know, after you guys hear this conversation, I definitely take a look at Hometown Prophet as well. But in reading American Prophet, there are several layers of the book for me, Jeff, that really came up. And one is, I thought, really practical for us as readers, and I think for myself, doing the work that I do and trying to encourage people, there's a part of Peter that really is by example showing how we should respect our gifts, right? And so many of us are given gifts, and I'd say in the broad sense, right? We all have certain abilities. Peter has ears. What has that been like for you to embrace your own ability, Jeff, as a storyteller and being able to share stories like this and to get people talking? Has that been easy for you to do?
No, it's not. It's not natural for me to do these interviews. It's not. I like to write. I have always been a writer, kind of a closet writer, but it's just been something that I've done. I've written under pseudonyms, and I've written a, you know, various formats. But so that part comes with, you know, writing is never easy for me. But I enjoy it. You know, at the end of the day. As far as putting yourself out there, you know, like a prophet would have to do, or someone who's speaking out, that's not my wheelhouse, but it goes along with it, and, you know, I'm happy to do it, and I actually, you know, end up enjoying it more than I think I will, but there is sort of just that, you know, it doesn't come naturally, and so, but that's okay. I think that's part of Peter's, you know, of course, you put a lot of yourself into your characters. I don't think you can help but do that, and certainly right. Peter is that way. But so he struggles. You know, he doesn't really want to do these, you know, interviews or especially if it's a hostile interview or if it's something that, you know, is going to, you know, maybe make some trouble, but he does it, and, you know, he makes mistakes and he gets up and he keeps going. You know, he sins. He's not a perfect guy, but he, you know, asks for forgiveness and he keeps moving. And I really think that's part of the message of the book is don't get, you know, too bogged down in your own limitations. You just keep doing the next right thing. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, you know, keep, be humble, you know, and empathetic toward others and just do the next right thing.
Right. That comes through in a conversation that I made a note of, Jeff, between Peter and another character we're able to meet in the book, Jordan. And they're having a really interesting conversation about injustice, about prejudice. And they are talking about, of course, a situation that's happening in the book. Our audience will see it when they read it. And one of the things that Peter says to Jordan, I made a note of it, was about the bigger picture. And Peter said in explaining, it's just about trying to see things from someone else's perspective. I feel like you've done that with American Prophet, and that's, for one thing, we're able to see things through Peter's perspective of having this gift that can have real-world implications that could, you know, lead to some very bad things happening, not only to others but to himself. But also being able to understand people. Talk to us about that for yourself. What was it like for you to kind of give Peter that gift of understanding, but also realizing the importance of what he was doing?
Right. Yeah, I like that scene. I like that character, Jordan, because she's, you know, a little bit superficial and kind of has her own self-motivation for doing things. She shows up at basically a Black Lives Matter rally with Peter and you know, but she has a good heart. It's, you know, she's got some different agendas going on as well. But, you know, I think Peter is just, you know, Peter doesn't pretend to really know all the answers. He's a bit of an innocent, a little bit naive, but he just, you don't have to be an expert in anything if you're willing to just look at something from the other person's perspective. And I think that gets you a lot closer to the truth than just, you know, just reiterating what you think you already know, or just, you know, kind of hunkering down with your preconceived notions. And so being open is I think, a good starting point. And being humble and realizing, hey, you know, there's something here for me to learn. So, yeah, I like that fact about Peter, and it sort of, you know, they have some good interactions between the two of them, and hopefully they both learn something. I don't know. But I appreciate you bringing that scene up because I do like it.
Yeah, there's another scene that really stood out as well. Well, before I talk about that, let me say this. For those who are just tuning in, welcome. You all are listening to Conversations Live here on the radio side of Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. Also, those tuning in online worldwide thanks to our podcast. We're glad you all could join us as well. Author Jeff Fulmer is our guest today. We're talking with Jeff about his love of telling stories, but also his newest book, American Prophet. He's also the author of a book called Hometown Prophet, both of them available on Amazon. But we're talking to Jeff not only about the main character, Peter, and what it's been like for him to share Peter's journey as well. There's another scene I wanted to talk about with you, Jeff, and it has to do with Peter and the conversation with another interesting character, Joel Snow. Before I get into that, though, I want to talk about another theme in the book, and that is forgiveness. Because that comes up not only for those around Peter, but for Peter himself. Peter's put in some really hair-raising situations, I'll put it that way for our audience, and he has to do something that is not easy, and that is to realize the importance of forgiveness, but also the power of it. What was that like for you to explore in this book?
Yeah, thank you. That was probably the central message of the book, and probably the most difficult is how do you love your enemies, especially in a in any time, you know, loving your enemies is tough. And
right.
It's not, you know, tough is an understatement. It may be impossible. I think it's something, it's a challenge that we're were given by Jesus, and it's clearly, you know, a priority. You know, it's brought up more than once, and it's to, you know, it's my love that people will know that we're his disciples. And so, yeah, he struggles with that, obviously, as everyone does, but I think that's kind of a part of it. I mean, just being willing to struggle with it is a step in the right direction. Most people don't venture there. You know, that's an uncomfortable place to be. Why? And it makes no sense. I mean, it's counterintuitive. Why would you love your enemies? Your enemies are those that you hate. And there's a very deep knowledge. There's something very deep going on there that I can't, you know, give you a wonderful answer to. I wished I could. Martin Luther King, I think, actually had a book, Strength to Love, and where he explores that. And he talks about being as wise as serpents and as soft as doves. And, you know, there's a tricky kind of balance between critical thinking and empathy and being, you know, having convictions about something, but also still having a humility and an ability to see the humanity in other people. So it's almost, you know, like a Zen koan. It's very difficult to really grasp intellectually, but I think, you know, as you grapple with it, you do understand that everybody has their own story and everybody's coming from a different place. And you have to sort of understand that this person is probably doing about as good as they can do. You know, maybe you can meet them where they are, and maybe you can, you know, connect with them in a way that really does make a difference. But I don't think you can do that. You have a much better chance of doing that if you're doing it from a place of love than a place of hate. And, you know, it's love is very powerful, and it can overcome quite a bit. And so, you know, I think there's a line in the book that, like, if you love your enemies, are they still your enemies? And so that may be the only way to break the cycle of hate. And Martin Luther King grasped that on some level, and Jesus grasped it. And I don't know, Martin Luther King's on my mind. I was just in Memphis yesterday, and we went by the Lorraine Motel and the museum there. And so I found that very moving. But, and I do think he is as close to a prophet as we've had in a long time. So there is a powerful, powerful command there that I think we just need to be reminded of and work on and wrestle with. And I think that we need a lot more of it right now.
Yeah. I mentioned another character in the book that we're able to meet, Joel Snow, and there's a pretty interesting, intense exchange that happens with Peter. But I want to go beyond that for our audience here, Jeff. They'll read about that in the book. But there's a point that Peter makes, and when I read it, it goes to something that I try to live by, and it's something that I hope people, all of us, realize, and that is the power that all of us have, especially for those of us who have, you know, some type of influence in the world, those of us who have some type of position in the world. Peter makes that point, and when I read that, I thought, you know what, more people, I think, you mentioned, of course, politicians earlier, if they realize the responsibility that comes with those, with that authority, with that influence, with that, you know, that ability to connect with people. Talk to us about that in a broad sense for you. What was it like for you to share that message through Peter about all of us really have a responsibility to do what's right? It's not just about those who, as Joel says in the book, you know, who may say that they're a prophet, you know, another. All of us have that responsibility.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you know, prophets speak truth to power. The power, you know, that may be the president, or, you know, in the book, it may be a very popular cultural figure like Joel Snow in the book. who may be, you know, very different, but there's still, I think, an opportunity to, you know, not be overwhelmed with someone's status or money or whatever, and really just, you know, I mean, there's a way to do it, but I do think we don't need to be deferential to someone because they are, quote, powerful, you know, in some form or fashion. And that may be just, you know, someone at work or someone, you know, in your family. I don't mean you shouldn't be respectful, but I just mean there's still an obligation to be honest with people and not to, you know, let them sort of dictate the whatever their values are onto you because they're deemed more important. They're not more important, you know, certainly not more important in God's sight. And So I think it's a tricky thing. You know, I don't mean you need to be calling everybody out for their sins. That's not the message. It's just you also don't need to – I think you have an obligation to speak up. Especially, I think, again, in this environment, it seems like the loudest voices are often the most critical or negative or, you know, shaming or whatever the case may be. And I just, you know, I think more voices on the other side need to be vocal. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on mass media. It can just be around the dinner table or, you know, in a loving way, or wherever the opportunity arises in day-to-day life.
Yeah, I think that's it. Such great messages, as I mentioned in the beginning, Jeff, and such an entertaining book. So I want to thank you for writing American Prophet. Thank you for introducing us to the journey of Peter, and I think also allowing us to kind of look at ourselves and to think about how we're using our gifts, you know, and what that's like for us to be able to realize it's bigger than just us, as Peter shares in the book. Again, everyone, Jeff Fulmer has been our guest. American Prophet is the new book. As I mentioned, you can get it through our friends at Amazon.com, as well as, of course, his first book in this series, Hometown Prophet, that I mentioned earlier. And as you heard Jeff say, you don't have to have read the first book. I hadn't read Hometown Prophet before. But now, Jeff, I'm curious. I have to go back now and read that one because I really enjoyed this one. But how can our audience stay connected with you, Jeff?
Well, my website's probably the best place. It's just my name, Jeff Fulmer, all together, JeffFulmer.com. And there you can find links to Instagram and Facebook and a blog. And I've just tried to start with Substack. I'm still kind of learning my way through some of these social media platforms. But yeah, that's a good place to start, is just my website, my name, Jeff Fulmer.
Well, Jeff, I hope we made this painless for you. Really appreciate you stopping by, and definitely looking forward to our next conversation together.
That sounds great, Cyrus. I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate, again, you reading the book, and glad you got something out of it. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad to do it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb-Singh. As always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.